Welcome, MCU fans, to True Believers, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. Here on True Believers, we will discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well as the related television and streaming shows on Disney+. We will also look at the connections that exist to the original Marvel comics and how they relate to the past, current, and future of the MCU. With that, as always, spoiler warnings ahead. We will be talking about the latest episode of What If. So, massive spoiler warnings ahead. If you have not watched that episode, go watch it, take a little Prozac, and then come back and join this podcast. But you know what? I cannot talk about What If and things in the MCU by myself, even though I could rant on for hours. I'm sure nobody wants to hear that. So, once again, I am joined by the man, the myth. I don't know which version of him I have, but Mr. Kevin Reitzel is here on the show.
Definitely the myth. Good to be back, man. This is going to be interesting.
I'm just curious. You don't have any heartburn from overabsorption, do you?
No, but I need an upper for my depression.
I was just going to ask you, it's been a while since I've seen some of the other hosts around the Fandom Podcast Network studios. Is there some? I'm just checking up on things.
Things are fine.
You haven't been trying to up your podcasting levels, have
no.
you?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what you're talking there, but I'm not sure. Sometimes you're weird.
Yeah, that's true. But in this episode, I think weird fits in quite well. I just don't do bugs. Just remember that. Of course, we are here to discuss everything that's happening in the MCU. And of course, What If is going strong, and we will be talking about episode 4, What If Doctor Strange Lost His Heart Instead of His Hands. But we have a few other things we need to discuss first. First and foremost, I want to tell everybody about our wonderful Facebook page, Dave Fielding, who, happy birthday, Dave. A little belated, but happy birthday to you. It was a phenomenal job of running that. And of course, we've got some stuff coming up here that we need to tease, Kevin. Throw a little teasers out for what we got coming up on True Believers.
Yeah, so in, I guess, after What If concludes, we've got a little bit of time until new MCU programming comes out. So what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate the MCU by doing a rewatch, not on any strict schedule. We're going to kind of fit them in when we can, but we want to keep the programming consistent here for True Believers. And so we're going to be doing a rewatch, but we're going to be doing it in the chronological order, which I'm really excited about. In a way, I'm kind of liking it a little bit more than the theatrical release, just for obvious reasons. But yeah, we're going to be starting off with Captain America, the First Avenger, and we're going to be having a guest as well. Someone that you guys know, been on before, but we're going to wait to mention that later. But we will be having a guest there for doing our rewatch. I'm excited about the chronological. Have you done the chronological before? Because I have.
I've done it too, but Kevin, I'm going to invoke my Marvel power rights here for True Believers, because I'm officially going to announce that when these episodes come out, they will be called the True Believers Infinity Saga Rewatch.
Infinity Saga Rewatch. Okay, but it has to be, to mention that they're chronological, so.
Right, but again, because Marvel has decided to take those first three phases together and now call them the Infinity Saga.
Infinity Saga Chronological Rewatch. Great, that'll add more to the type. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, hey, we like big things around here at True Believers. But we got something else that's going to be coming out. We're going to actually probably next week have a double up of True Believers episodes, but there's a very specific reason for that, Kevin.
Yes, as we speak, we are recording on Friday, September 3rd, and this is the release date of Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings. And we have seen it, and we're going to be doing a spoiler reaction show with our, my co-host of the Blood of Kings Highlander podcast, Lee Fillingsness, and we're going to be releasing that a little bit later next week, or this next coming week, because we don't want to get people to get a chance to watch it, and we don't want to, release something too spoilery right away, but it will be spoilery when it releases, so we will give our reaction to it.
And, you know, I have a feeling that Lee might know a little bit about fight choreography. So he's going
to
be
Lee is the man. That's why we reached out to him, because Lee is also a very well exercised in the martial arts and has done fight choreography and can definitely have a good eye and detail to good fights, which I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the movie had some good fights.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, I just found out that Lee, too, threw sticks at Bill Paxton during the filming of Twister.
I'm sorry, what?
We just released Couch Potato Theater, Twister. Lee commented on that he was part of the crew for that movie and actually threw sticks at Bill Paxton.
He has not shared that with me. I have to ask him about that. Nice.
It was on Facebook. I think pretty soon we need to just start the Life and Times of Lee filling this podcast.
This is true. I'm finding a lot of interesting details about him as we talk about Highlander.
I think he knows who was really on the grassy knoll, too. I'm just saying. So with that, Kevin, we are here to talk about the latest episode of What If. But before we even do that, because Shang-Chi came out, there was something that dropped on Disney Plus that you just seen recently for the first time, and it ties into what might be one of your all-time favorite Marvel movies, Mr. Reitzel.
definitely one of mine, but not everyone else's. But I'm hoping that people will look at it differently now.
Well, and so let's talk about this, because instead of the news, we're going to do a little spoilery preview, something that came out a while ago, but a lot of people are seeing for the first time, because several years ago, Marvel did a bunch of shorts on their DVDs, kind of doing little pieces that would tie things together funnily in the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe. Phil Coulson was in a couple of these, but they also did one called All Hail the King, which came out on the Thor the Dark World Blu-ray, and it kind of explained what happened to a certain Trevor Slattery from Iron Man 3, Kevin. And you just found out about this for the first time when Disney Plus released it last week, because there are some ties into the upcoming most recent addition to the MCU.
I remembered that I should clarify, when I was reminded of it, I had completely forgotten about it. I had seen this before, because when I watched it, I was going, okay, I have seen this before. And yes, this was strategically released on Disney Plus, this one shot, Marvel one shot called All Hail the King, starring Ben Kingsley, Scoot McNairy, and Lester Spite. And this is a kind of a documentary filmmaker interviews the now famous Trevor Slattery from Behind Bars, who was the face as the so-called Mandarin in Iron Man 3, which of course is a sore spot for many fans because of how they treated the whole Mandarin thing in Iron Man 3, because they're used to the comics. And of course, he was just the face. He was this actor that was hired to play this role and coerced with lots of hookers and cocaine, apparently. But this came out because of what is happening, and we're not going to spoil it, but we did get leaked that Ben Kingsley was going to have a part in, or at least whatever, in the Shang-Chi movie that's out now. Which makes sense, because there might be some possible ties to, you know, some stuff. But this is a very funny thing, because there's this guy who's doing this documentary. He's interviewing Slattery in jail. And turns out the interviewer actually has nefarious reasons why he's there. And you find out that he's got the Ten Rings tattoo on him, and is trying to basically get Trevor Slattery to be escaped from jail. And then we also get a very funny cameo of Justin Hammer at the end of it, because he's also in the same prison with him. And so when this came out, I don't know if this pleased fans a little bit more about what happened with Iron Man 3. Because, you know, I'm a big fan of Iron Man 3 for many, many reasons. What do you think, Kyle? What was your impression of this?
First of all, I'm going to quote director Shane Black. Shane Black felt Marvel, quote, saw so many negative things surrounding the Mandarin's portrayal that the short was created as an apology to fans who were so angry. And, Kevin, I think even for me, that was the thing that turned me off Iron Man 3 so much, was the kind of... I think a lot of diehard Marvel fans felt they were trolled a little bit with what they did with the Mandarin in this movie. So I think that's where a lot of the grief from Iron Man 3 has come from. I think it was a smart move on Marvel's part. In some ways, I'm kind of sad that it's taken so long to get the final payoff of this, but I really think it was a smart move to kind of take some of the heat off of Iron Man 3. Because, you know, Iron Man 3 is still probably my least favorite of the three Iron Man films, but I will say this, the interaction between Tony Stark and the young man in that movie makes Harley, that movie. Yeah. That is the high point of that
movie. To me, it was really the scenes like with point. Pepper and Rhodey. You know, there was some great character developing between those two characters. But for those of us like you and I who have seen Shang-Chi, first of all, we say, please see Shang-Chi. Let us know what you think. And also we'll be discussing this with our spoiler reaction show of Shang-Chi coming out soon.
Yeah, and I just got to say this too. All hats off to Ben Kingsley for just taking and just having so much fun with his character.
He's actually very likable.
Yeah, I think he's actually more likable in Shang-Chi, but we'll let that be. But Kevin, it is time for us to become watchers, because it's time for us to discuss What If. But, you know, we do things a certain way here at True Believers, so would you care to fill in the fans?
Yes, we don't do segments on this Marvel MCU podcast, because Marvel's got phases. We've got four of them here. First is phase one, our plot description and reactions and some cast comments. Then we'll head into phase two, which is our trivia on the episode. And phase three, we're going to really dive deep into the plot analysis and any ties to the MCU and comics. And phase four is our final thoughts and what's next. So let's head into phase one, plot description. Dr. Stephen Strange and Christine Parker drive to a dinner party, but get into a car crash that kills Palmer. A grieving Strange seeks out answers in Kumar Taj, becoming a master of the mystic arts and studying the Eye of Agamotto. He learns that the Eye can manipulate time, but is warned by the Ancient One and Wong to not do so, as it will alter the fabric of reality. 2 years later, Strong makes repeated attempts to use the Eye to save Palmer, but fails each time. The Ancient One informs Strange that he cannot prevent Palmer's death because using his magic to save her would create a destructive time paradox, but he refuses to listen. When she tries to stop him, he uses the Eye to escape through time and finds the lost library of the Cagliostro, where he meets its librarian, Obeng, and absorbs several magic beings to gain more power. Eventually, a dying Obeng declines Strange's offer to prevent his death. Unable to locate Strange, the Ancient One instead uses the power of the Dark Dimension to split the timeline into two, where Strange ultimately becomes an evil version of himself, dubbed Strange Supreme, and another where Strange accepts Palmer's death. The Ancient One recruits the latter to find the former and save the world. However, Strange Supreme overpowers the good Strange and absorbs him. Strange Supreme uses his enhanced powers to reverse Palmer's death, but creates a time paradox that begins tearing reality apart. As his surroundings collapse, Strange Supreme begs the Watcher for help, but the Watcher refuses to intervene. The universe is destroyed, with Palmer disintegrating in Strange Supreme's arms, and Strange Supreme is left to grieve alone in oblivion, sealed within a crystallized sphere. All right, Kyle.
I'm sorry, I'm popping Prozac like Pez right now.
First reactions.
First reactions. Remember last episode how I talked about how What If was tending to be a darker comic?
Yes.
And as we were talking about. Yeah, there were some What Ifs that were comics that were very much like this way of dark and not pleasant. This was depressing. I'm not even gonna lie. This was an absolutely depressing episode of What If. But I think the cool thing about it, and my first reaction was that I give Marvel credit for being brave enough to do this. And the two things that stand out about this episode are obviously just being brave enough to do this, and obviously a phenomenal, phenomenal performance by Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange in this episode. But, I mean, there's a lot of things to get into that I'm going to save for later phases, but those were kind of just my first reactions to this episode.
I'm going to save some of my deeper comments for phase three, but I will say this. I found it a tough watch for personal reasons. And I started to check out of this episode towards the end of it. And I'm going to save those reasons for a little bit later in the deeper discussion part. But I will say this, that I wanted to watch it again before we recorded this episode, so I can just be a little bit more, fluent with the episode. And again, I started to check out towards the end of this episode for several reasons. When it comes to doing rewatches, this one will probably not be one of my rewatches, this episode.
I think I know where you're going with this, and I can completely understand.
And I will dive into my reasons a little bit later.
You did pull a very interesting review for this.
Yeah. I always like to hit denofgeek.com for reviews for some of these podcasts we do, because I really like the writers. They got great contributors. And I found one by Rosie Knight. What if episode 4 review, Doctor Strange loses his Marvel? And episode 4 asked how far Doctor Strange will go to change his past. And I kind of skipped down to the beginning, down towards the end here, because I wanted to share these particular thoughts here with you guys. And the reviewer, Rosie, says, how does it work out? Not well. Surprising no one who understands how these things go, Strange Supreme Plan ends up destroying the reality. He pleads with the Watcher directly to help save the universe, admittedly his culpability and begging Utao to change the course of history. But as the Watcher reminds us that it's not his place, and though he'd love to punish Strange and save Christine, he cannot interfere. Thus, this universe ends, leaving nothing behind. She said the standout moments, there's a ton of comic fun to be had here if you can get past the multiple murders of Christine. Once Strange heads into the magical realm, we get to see him imbibe the powers of many mythical creatures, which is incredibly fun. But the best moment has to be the awesome cloak off. Strange's cloak has been one of the coolest things about the character, and the two Stranges present, we get two cloaks. Supreme Strange's cloak that he took from an evil giant bug has a much spikier and sinister collar. Doctor Strange keeps his classic look, and the two face down, their cloaks do too. It's a super cool sequence that shows the power of the cloaks of levitation and the awesome animation talents that bring What If to life. Your thoughts on that, Kyle?
I agree with what this reviewer has to say. And I got to say, the scene where the cloak of levitation gets destroyed was kind of like, you felt like you just lost your pet.
Kind of like seeing Mjolnir get destroyed and something like that. Or Is that what you mean?
I think it's even heavier than those, because the Cloak of Levitation had its own personality.
True. Yes.
Too.
Okay. Yeah. It does. So, it's its own little being.
So there was that, and you just knew from the I had a gut feeling from the start that this episode was not going to be a happy one. And yeah, it did not work out well. There were several interesting things that happened in this episode. I'm going to save them for phase 3, but I want to talk a little bit about the cast, because this is really, I think, since the first episode where they brought back, I guess the second episode too, but they really got everybody who was a major contributor to the Doctor Strange film back for this episode, except for Chetwell Ojafor, because the character of Mordor was not in this. But you've got Jeffrey White back as the Watcher, getting a little bit more to work on there. You have Benedict Cumberbatch, who I thought was absolutely phenomenal in this episode. Rachel McAdams as Christine Palmer, Benedict Wong back for Wong, Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. You also even have Leslie Bibb coming back to play the reporter, Christine Everhart.
I always crushed on Leslie Bibb. I liked her in Iron Man, but I also liked her in that TV series Popular. Remember that series?
That was a good series.
Did you watch it?
I liked her in that.
Yeah.
Yes, I did actually watch some episodes.
With Carly Pope, the high school show. I thought that was really good. Yeah.
She was also in recently the Netflix show Jupiter's Legacy.
Leslie Bibb? Yeah, and she was in Talladega Nights too.
Yeah. But again, I got to come back to Benedict Cumberbatch, Kevin. Hearing his voice in this made me feel like it was really the Doctor Strange from the MCU.
He's got a very distinct voice, and it definitely rang true. Yeah.
So, and then anytime we can get Benedict Wong, I'm happy.
I was really liking hearing Rachel McAdams, because I'm very familiar with her as an actress and her voice, and she just had a certain charm, and it just broke your heart every time you knew what was starting to happen, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. especially since you didn't really see that happen in the live action MCU, because we're getting a different version here in What If. She didn't die in the live action version of it. So seeing someone's character that you like die over and over again, you're like, my God.
Yeah, and just again, I come back to this, and I think this is what made these What If episodes work so well, is having so many of the MCU actors doing the voices. I think if we just had other voice actors, like, not knocking them at all, voice actors are incredibly talented and deserve their own credit. But in this case, just having these stars reprise these roles is making this something special. And I think it's helping this boost up something that we know is canon. And I want to throw this point out here quick while we're here, Kevin, because I've been kind of playing a little theory game with the Spider-Man after watching the Spider-Man trailer a few times. And I've got a couple out-of-the-box theories I just want to run by you real quick while we're right here. First of all, because there's been a lot of talk on the internet, is that really the MCU Doctor Strange that we see? Just because of the whole ice thing and him in sweats and not kind of acting like we would think Doctor Strange would act, maybe?
I've heard this one, yeah.
One, I've thrown out, could it be a Kang variant disguised as Doctor Strange? Which would make sense in the aspect of multiple realities and worlds and stuff like that. What if there's some chance that the Doctor Strange we see is the Strange Supreme from this What If that somehow escaped the crystal at the end of this episode?
Yeah. I hope not.
Who's looking to affect... I hope not either, but I'm just saying, who's looking to affect realities and yet still trying to fix his own universe.
I hear you. Yeah,
I'm throwing stuff way outside the box here, obviously. But
with it, it's either a Kang variant or something like that. There's something weird that's going on there. Yeah.
So yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
we got some trivia.
Yes, let's head into phase two. We've got some trivia on the episode here. Jeffrey Wright was moved by the episode and believe its lessons were, quote, really riveting and relevant, and its premise timeless, since all people have had moments that they wish they could undo certain events. Doctor Strange, the movie Doctor Strange 2016's director, Scott Derrickson, was shown an early cut of this episode and called it terrific. Writer A.C. Bradley was initially scared of this story due to its heavy theme of flaws and tragedy, but she ultimately found it very rewarding experience. We got to play around with why does loss hurt so much, and because it all comes down to love. Only the things we love can hurt us. Leslie Bibb, of course, reprised her role as journalist Christine Everhart. She had previously portrayed the character in both Iron Man and Iron Man 2. Shuma Gorath makes its second appearance after the Captain Carter What If episode. Kyle?
Okay. Stop. Let's get a quick pause right there, because I think that's important. Second time this character has shown up, and I think there's more to it than that, because Shuma Gorath is supposed to be
a major part of Doctor Strange. Is this the weird tentacle-y thing?
Yeah. That character is supposed to be a part of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness as well. That character is very tied in with the multiverse. I think we're going to see Shuma Gorath in more episodes of What If before it's all said and done.
So I want to ask you about this next trivia thing here. This is the first time the Watcher has interacted with other characters in the series. I don't know if we should save this for phase three, but since it's here in the trivia, why do you think this is important? Is it because of the whole paradox?
It's important for a couple of
severity issue, maybe? What do you think?
No,
or is it because he's a sorcerer and he has this ability to detect the Watcher and talk to him?
I think that's more because of all the power he's absorbed, he's able to sense the presence of the Watcher because the Watcher is so powerful. Even the Watcher even says that I could fix this if I wanted to.
Gotcha.
But what's so cool about this is I'm curious now, because they're making the Watcher a theme character throughout these shows, which the Watcher always has been as part of What If. But now they're starting to show some of this classic storylines they've done with the Watcher, where the Watcher starts feeling conflicted. Like, I care about what I'm seeing. He's starting to have emotions about what he's seeing and whether he should step in or not. And it's to the law of his people. You only observe, you do not interfere. So it's going to be interesting to see in future episodes of What If this becomes more of a running plot line of the Watcher fighting his urge to get involved, and if he does get involved and crosses the line, which could lead, and there's a lot of speculation that maybe we're going to see the Watcher in again in live action MCU. We have seen the Watcher's race once already with a Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah. One of the magical creatures pulled from other universes by Strange resembles the mystical form of Raven from Titans. The Raven even has the many sets of eyes like she does when she transforms into a demon. Kyle?
They could have been having a little fun with DC here. Of course, the Raven character, very popular from the Titans run, that George Perez did back in the day. And Raven is still a very popular Titan character, so they could have been having a little fun with that.
Here's kind of a deep reach here. The dragon that Doctor Strange absorbs resembles Smaug from the 1967 version of The Hobbit. Benedict Cumberbatch was the voice of Smaug in the 2013 version of The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug.
I did catch that. I was like, oh, I see what you did there.
All right, before we head into phase three, we're going to take a break from our True Believers MCU discussion and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to True Believers. This is episode 27. We're discussing, spoilery, what if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands? And this is phase three. This is where we dive deep in the plot analysis and any ties to the MCU and comics. And I always ask this with these what if questions. This is always the first question in this phase here, Kyle, because you're the comic guy. Does this what if episode have any similarities to any what if Marvel comic book that you can recollect?
Not any specific what if, but the just depressing nature of the end, especially the ending of this particular what if, reminds me of several what ifs that ended on pretty downer and dark notes where the bad guys won or the evil event happened. One of those that really springs to mind early is there's a what if comic. There's an X-Men, big X-Men crossover called Inferno, where they fought off a realm of demons. And in this particular what if the X-Men had lost Inferno? And some of the things that some of the characters do and becomes some of the characters is, yeah, you just kind of look left shaking your head after you read that particular issue. And there's been other issues of what if that are like that. Like I said, the what if tended not to very rarely be a happy comic book. So yeah. This definitely felt that legacy.
Well, let's dive a little deep into our feelings about this part. And this is a dark episode. And I'm asking, did this episode get too mystical and sorcery as well? And this is another thing that kind of lost me, not just the dark aspect of loss and pain and losing someone that you love. But it got a little too weird for even me, Kyle. I'll be honest with you. And it's kind of like when you watch a movie and the older you get, you rewatch it again, but you kind of rewatch it and you like it for different reasons. And that when it comes to all the big action and battle-y scenes, for me, I kind of tend to kind of gloss over that a little bit more now after the first watch of it. And I dive more into the character development scenes and the dialogue scenes. This just got too weird, man. This is one of the other reasons why I started to check out at the end of this episode, with all the battling and the sorcery and the mystically and blobbity blobbity bloopity. I was just like, okay, I get it. I'm out.
Okay, so two things here. First and foremost, Kevin, we're gonna play a little bit of the Wayback Machine ourselves here. If we think real hard, if something like this episode would have come out, say, like 1983, 1984, you know, you and I would have been seeing all over the news the Christian religious groups, like they were going after Dungeons and Dragons, losing their mind over this episode. And that just crossed my mind. One of the things that crossed my mind after watching this episode, as far as it getting weird, I hate to tell you this, sir, but you ain't seen the tip of the iceberg for Weird with Dr. Strange yet, because if you thought this was weird, wait till Sam Raimi's weirdness gets involved with Doctor Strange's weirdness in Multiverse of
Madness. I hope they keep it grounded a little bit. This episode just went a little too far for me. It's not the visuals; it was just too much. You know, I mean, there was too much flying around and. You know, extravagant jumping and things shooting from things and stuff like that. I mean, but this is the liberties they can take with animation. And that's the problem and the line that I think animation crosses sometimes, that you don't always get with live action, although sometimes you do with CG and stuff like that. But that's just where I stand with it and one of the things. But I want to talk about personally the main reason why this episode for me is not a rewatchable and it was a tough watch is that I personally have lost someone close to me that I've loved. And I, as much as someone with Doctor Strange's power, I've never felt like if I had power like that myself, I would want to change history and bring this person back. I was able to deal with my grief in my own way and, you know, got help and some friendly counseling and stuff like that. And I was able to deal with the grief. And I still deal with it to a certain degree, but not as deep as I used to, because, you know, even though the person's always with you, the pain is a little less if you've dealt with it properly. But I couldn't see myself changing things, because I've learned so much through that process, and the people that I've been around have done the same. And my life has changed from that process in a different trajectory, and just reliving different ways to lose someone like that. It was tough watch. And thus, one of the other reasons why I will not rewatch this episode.
Yeah, that was very heavy. And I understand and I know what you're referring to, Kevin. And I've never had a loss in the realm like you're referring to. But I want to actually bring up the Ringer Podcast Network, which Kevin and I are both big fans of. They have a show that they talked about this episode already as well. And they brought up a point that I was kind of feeling the same way. Part of the story of why Doctor Strange is so not, this is how he's choosing to deal with his grief. When you look at the character of Doctor Strange in the original film, his hands are destroyed, which were his tools, which were everything. He was ego. It was his own hubris that he had to deal with in the original version of Doctor Strange. Here, he doesn't have to. He still has all of that because he lost Christine, but he still had his hands. He still had his ego, his ability. He didn't have that ego, necessarily ego check. He still thought he could play God, and so his pursuit for the Mystic Arts was to find a way to maybe bring Christine back. So he never dealt with his grief. He just dove right into this, which led to this situation. So I think what this was trying to show is just when grief becomes obsessive and takes you over. And obviously here we're talking about a superpower that's non-existent, you know? So you add that capability in, but I think there's some good messages in there as well. And so I hope in ways, even though this episode is very dark and depressing, it maybe helps somebody see that, you know what, there are bad ways to deal with grief. And they can destroy you if you can let your grief destroy you.
Exactly.
If you choose not to deal with it, so that's kind of what I was seeing from this a little bit too.
So you were alluding to the fact that get ready for what if to possibly get dark, and most of the what ifs in the comics were dark. Well, the first two episodes were on the light side. We got to see what happens if Captain Carter becomes the Captain America, but the British version. And that was fun. It wasn't dark. We get to see that. And the second one, we got T'Challa. What if T'Challa was, part of the Ravagers and the Guardians of the Galaxy. And that was great. That was fun. And in the third episode, we got to see our all main Avengers get killed. What if, and now we get to see what happens, with Doctor Strange, going, bad, so to speak. So I hope that all of them are going down the dark thing, because I hope they find a way to keep some of it positive and fun. These episodes are going to be most of these episodes are going to be one and done for me.
I think it's going to be a mix. I think the next one that has potential to be really dark, but it could also be done in a way that it's dark, but it's fun, is they are doing an episode with the Marvel zombies. And I think it just depends on which way they approach that.
But
I also know there's one, I think one of the what ifs that's coming up too is what if Spider-Man were this Sorcerer Supreme, which I think could be a lot of fun. Yeah, that could
definitely be fun. But one of the main topics I want to discuss here in Phase 3 that I think is really important, and it's a dialogue between Strange and the Ancient One, voiced by Tilda Swinton, who reprises her character. And absolute point. Ancient One to Strange says, "I'm here to help you. This is where it starts for you, with the death of Dr. Christine Palmer. So overwhelmed by loss, you will seek the answers only in the mystic arts, in me." And Strange replies, "Help me bring her back." The Ancient One says, "I'm sorry, but I can't. No one can. Her death is an absolute point in time. Unchangeable, unmovable. Without her death, you would never have defeated Dormammu and become the Sorcerer Supreme and the Guardian of the Eye of Agmato. If you erase her death, you'll never start your journey." And Strange replies, "I'm creating a paradox." Ancient One says, "You're risking the universe. You cannot reverse an absolute point." So my question to you is, Kyle, is absolute point one of these plot points per se that say, yes, you can have fun and do some what ifs, but there's certain points that we're going to call out conveniently that you can't change because of what happens with these characters and what turns them makes them become who they are. So my question to you is, do you think that's why absolute point is brought up here? And my second part of the question for you, Kyle, is, was this brought up in the actual What If comics? Kyle's digging in for this one.
First of all, where's Dan Hadley when I need him?
You're going to have to explain that for people that don't know what that means, Kyle.
Well, Dan Hadley, who is the host of our Doctor Who podcast, and when you're talking absolute points, that theory has been around for a very long time. Most specifically in Doctor Who, where it's not called absolute points, but it's called a fixed moment in time. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. I can have all the sonic screwdrivers I want. I'm not going to change it. So they've kind of borrowed this from Doctor Who, who, but I think this is something that has been used as a plot device in many a time travel type story. There's just certain things in time, they're fated to happen one way or the other. You can maybe change the event that makes it happen, but if that person is meant to die, that person is meant to die. And if that event doesn't happen, what you get is a paradox, which could destroy the universe, which is what happens in this episode. I think this is actually going to be a key point that could come up again later in the MCU with everything that we know is coming with Kang, multiple timelines, the multiverse that's coming, because I think there's going to end up being certain absolute points that they're going to set within the MCU timeline that will explain some certain things. Like, I think Thanos's I am inevitable with a snap. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that's not an absolute point.
I'm sorry. Do you believe it is?
I believe it could be made into an absolute point, that the snap could become an absolute point, or at least something along those lines, because it's obviously they're playing up some things with Eternals, that it's becoming a major thing, things like that. But the absolute points are fixed moments in time. They're always going to be there, and you can't change them. And it's always going to have an effect. And it's a creative way for writers to not get themselves in trouble with
something. Good point. Yeah, good point to kind of stay on point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they used it very wisely in this episode.
So real quick, and did they use that terminology in the comics?
I've seen it used in the comics, not so much in the Marvel comics per se, but I've seen
I'm talking about the What If comics. It's either the actual What If comics.
No, I don't. I never remember hearing that in the actual What If comics. But I know that there's been, they haven't used absolute points. There's been many a storyline where they're like, this has to happen. A good example of this, and I've come back to this a couple of times, is the Exiles comic, which was a comic that replaced the What If series for a while. It was where they were traveling through different realities they had to fix things that were broken or the reality would destroy itself. So kind of like they had to fix these absolute points that had gone wrong. Like something screwed them up and they had to reset them right or the reality would destroy itself.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that there's been that, but I thought it was a very good use of this particular trope within this episode.
Before I ask the final question of where stuff goes from here, Kyle, was there anything else that you wanted to bring up with this episode?
There's some interesting things here that I wonder if we won't see in the actual MCU
live action
movies at some point in the live action, like this Library of Cagliostro. If that doesn't come up again, obviously I think there could be some characters that he absorbed that maybe pop up in Multiverse of Madness. So I think there's some crossover things there. I just don't know. It's hard to say with how this episode ends, because I do think the end of this episode is going to have ramifications. I just don't necessarily know if they tie in with that particular version of Doctor Strange. Okay.
Well, that brings me to the final question here. Out of curiosity, in your opinion, because I don't care and I don't even want to try to attempt to answer this question, is where does the sequel of this episode go through? This is a question that we like to ask with these what ifs. What happens next in this what if alternate version? What happens in this sequel to this, weird thing that happens with him, the grief of Christine Palmer and the two different, Stranges and, what happens? What do you think?
I don't think it's a coincidence that this Supreme Strange, this episode ends with him like trapped in this little piece of crystallized universe. I think it leaves it open for some way, somehow, for this character to be introduced in another universe. Somehow, like he escapes that crystalline and ends up in another universe. Maybe we see him in Multiverse of Madness. I don't know per se. It could be left just as it is. This is one of those things. They could never revisit this again, which I would be fine with too, because I think the more interesting aspect is something I talked a little bit about earlier, though, is what's going on with the Watcher at this point. And I think that the Watcher bears watching for the rest of What If.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I would like to see Jeffrey Wright actually reprise in a live action form of the Watcher. I think that would be really cool. So, all right, well, let's head into Phase 4 and get our final thoughts and then close out the show here. Kyle, I've obviously shown my cards about this episode pretty clearly. I this is not one of my favorite ones. It's dark. It's fine. You called it brave. I guess. Yeah, I can see why other people like it and that it deals with a certain reality and pain. I'm not a fan of how weird and wizardry and you know, that it got for me personally. What about you? I mean, as we're 4 episodes in now, how are you feeling about What If? And, you know, does seeing an episode like this get you excited for more? Or is it like, I don't really want to see another episode like this?
Watching this episode and kind of my final thoughts after watching it, yes, it's a depressing episode. It's not something I'm going to intentionally go revisit per se. Now, if they do something with this particular version of Doctor Strange somewhere down the line, then yes, maybe I do revisit it just to see if there's something I missed or something like that. But when I say Marvel is brave for putting out this episode, this is an animated series, and it's a Disney animated series. You don't expect this dark from anything Disney does animated, period. You just don't think Disney's going to let this slip out. And they let Marvel do this, and I give them credit. I give Disney credit for allowing Marvel to do this, and I give Marvel credit for having the guts to do a darker episode of What If like this and not be afraid to look at the dark side of What If. And that's where I think it's brave, because they could have kept it a little more kiddie, a little bit more, you know, family friendly. And this episode isn't that. And really, last episode wasn't exactly what I would call kiddie friendly either. So I give them a lot of credit. They're being brave. They're being brave, and they're not afraid to go there. And I think that says a lot for Kevin Feige. I think it says a lot for the creative minds at Marvel right now and what they're doing. And I applaud them for it. Like I said, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and that's to be expected.
Yeah, you know, this is a hard watch. While you're talking, I'm like, yeah, I'm writing this episode off, but I don't want to, you know, discount the creativity that was put into this. And as you mentioned, you know, being brave and being able to put this stuff out and address a subject like this and how it would affect one of their main heroes and stuff. So yeah, no, I get it. It's just not everyone's cup of tea, and it's definitely not mine.
Yeah. And I think they knew that going in. And like I said, I think this is the future of What If, not the darkness per se, but where they're going to explore things that happen that not everybody's going to be happy about. But that's the nature of the What If comic. There were What If comics people loved, other people hated. That's just the nature of What If. And that's the potential of What If. Good and bad. You're getting both sides of the coin. And I like the fact that they are honoring that tradition as well. Okay. So, again, my personal favorite of the What Ifs is still episode 2. There's a lot of just fun
mine
with that.
As well.
But yeah. I'm not, I would say, for entirely different reasons, there's not been a bad episode of What If. There's just maybe been an episode now of What If that wasn't for everybody.
Yep. All right, man. Good discussion. Close this out.
Well, you know what? If you want to find True Believers, there's one good place to go, and that is the FPNet homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also find all the other great shows, because that is the home of our master feed. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel. I've just done a major content drop there within the last couple of weeks. We're getting caught up there, and we're going to be returning to some live broadcasts on that very soon. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. Of course, too, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook with our great Facebook group page for the Fandom Podcast Network, where we keep you updated and have some fun with everything that's going on in fandom. And of course, too, you can find us on all your major podcast catchers, which include Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and so many others. If you want to contact us directly, you can do so through the Facebook page. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at fandompodcastnetwork, or you can find us on Twitter at fanpodnetwork. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can they find you within this multiverse of madness?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, there's a couple great ways to support the Fandom Podcast Network and the True Believers Podcast. TeePublic.com. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network or True Believers or the title of any of your favorite Fandom Podcast Network shows. We do now have True Believers gear up on the Facebook page or on the TeePublic page as well. Go to TeePublic.com. They are always having great sales going on as well. Just keep an eye out for that. And finally, we do love reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. We love to get the feedback to let us know how we're doing. We love those 5-star reviews, of course, but we love the reviews in general because, as always, we're striving to make better podcasts to feed your ears. Now, before we get out of here, Kevin, it's time to award some Excelsior points.
Cool.
And just on the merit of
cash some having in, or I mean,
you bank some. Yeah. You bank three Excelsior points last week. This week, just because for the heaviness of the episode and knowing how it was probably a very tough watch for you, I'm awarding 5 Excelsior points this week for just being a trooper and being here. And I've been thinking about this, and I know how I'm going to award your Excelsior
points. Nice. I'm excited to hear this.
I am going to award you the now open position within the 10 rings of the role that Trevor Slattery played, because they're looking for somebody like that. It comes with free room and board. And you might even have a Morris.
I'll take it just for the Morris.
Yeah, I kind of
figured. And plus, I know how to play dead, so that's good.
That always helps. If you haven't, go see Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It's a very special Marvel movie. We're going to be talking about that very soon on True Believers as well. We're looking forward to that. Of course, our chronological rewatch will begin. In the meantime, Kevin, what's coming up on the next episode of True Believers of Regarding What If?
Well, according to sources, I don't know all the details, but of course it's episode 5 and it's airing September 8th. And all I've got is, what if Thor was banished to Earth but was still worthy of his mantle? So what I'm guessing he's
still worthy of Mjolnir.
He has Mjolnir with him and he's able to use it right away.
I'm thinking that could be very interesting because if you think about it, one of the big things about the original Thor movie was him learning humility.
Exactly. Exactly. Does this mean he's not learning humility at all? This will be interesting.
bring forth egotistical asshole Thor, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
And how does that work?
More!
Is Jane going to be in this episode? I'm kind of curious to see where that goes. Or Darcy. I hope Darcy is. Yeah. We'll see.
We always got to get some Kat Dennings and some Darcy, but we will be discussing that soon. Of course, coming up first, we will have our great Shang-Chi reaction show. We are looking forward to that. Until then, as always, True Believers, thank you for joining us. And as always, Excelsior and make ours Marvel.